for school is 13th of May, Monday. Starting with the usual IP notes, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any of the CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Please note that these meetings are recorded and transcribed. We have a robot transcriber, and we also have audio and video recordings that we are going to publish after the call. If you want to speak, please raise your hand or type Q plus in the chat to add yourself to the queue. And the next agenda point would be introductions and reintroductions. So if anybody is new, please take the floor or type in the chat. But we have a few minutes to introduce yourselves. And if nobody else wants to come forward, I would like to invite our speaker. I know that she's not new to you, but Lucy, maybe you're in a special position to introduce yourself as our invited speaker for the main item. And you're muted.
Hi, sorry. Now, everyone can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm starting sharing my screen because I actually have a slide where I talk about myself. So it's so first thanks for BCEDU for having me to do this presentation, particularly on trust registry. It's probably those of you who are here know, like, my topic today is I want to start a conversation about where are we at with standardized trust registry. So before I get there, let me introduce myself first. Today I'm doing it as one of the community members, but just give you an idea, like, some of the multiple hats, some of the hats I'm wearing. First, I work with Kalia, the Identity Woman. So we have a consulting firm. So I'm the managing partner for the firm. And so that's like where we do a lot of decentralized identity, consulting in business strategy and standards development, as well as technical implementation and the ecosystem building. Kind of a separate kind of hat I'm wearing, which is also very relevant to the identity work, is I'm also a business consultant at United Nations Development Program, which actually is doing the project, the trust registry project I'm going to speak to a lot today. So I'm not a technical person. I call myself a technology these days proudly, but I am an entrepreneur and business strategist. My specialty is particularly in really crafting and implementing go-to-market strategy, you know, not only for identity product, but I have a particular kind of passion for emerging technology. That's also part of the reason why I got into the space about 5 years ago. So I can't believe it's 5 years, but it has been quite a good journey. And my journey actually started kind of a little bit before COVID, but I would call COVID pretty much kind of like a really professional journey changing experience for me. So some of you might know me from back in the COVID days where I was leading the COVID credentials initiative, and with Kalia and also another technical colleague of ours, John, who's actually, I'm working very actively today on trust registry work. So the three of us, we kind of co-led the COVID credentials initiative into the Linux Foundation. And also that's where we kind of identify the trust registry kind of challenge among the COVID and the COVID ecosystem and initiated the project called Global COVID Certificate Network. So this is actually one of the first and decentrally federated infrastructures for trust registries, like where we leverage, the Truang project, which I'm going to speak to a little bit more in depth. So the GCCM project, we took it, to United Nations in 2022, and now it's renamed to RegiTrust Project, and I'm still consulting as independent consultant there. So our use case now is still on actually in-house, it's not particularly on COVID, but there are so many other kind of health certificates we're working, we need to kind of address interoperability for them, and that's work is particularly with WHO. Just also an intermittent educational background. I have an anthropology background before I got into business, and And what else? Yes, like I you know, Kalia and I, we co-authored one of our first projects, a consulting firm. We co-authored Getting Started with Self-Sovereign Identity, and a lot of, like, you know, so that's, I think that's why also I'm here, because like this, I know this community is focusing on like credentials and communities, but actually the trust records work where I'm going to speak to is quite more broadly than just credentials. But anyway, so like, this is me, like I'm going to talk about trust registers, particularly from kind of a business person, as someone who actually having challenges understanding all the technologies all, you know, out there, and also having challenges communicate that to like stakeholders who are, you know, who are kind of struggling with, you know, a particular like an industry problem or ecosystem problem, and also who is like, oh, which technologies I want to invest in, where I should invest in. So with that, just to clarify, are we doing questions at the end? What is the preferred kind of way of for this community? I'm happy to you know, either way.
It depends on the people's preference. I guess people usually leave questions in the chat as well. I don't know if you will be able to monitor that.
I can't see it actually when I'm on presenting.
No worries. We have a plan for everything. So you can have the presentation. As long as you leave enough time for question and answers, we can interrupt you, or we can...
Yes. Feel free to interrupt me because I can't see anything. Okay. I think if the question is very relevant, where it's probably the best answer at the, you know, like while I'm, you know, before I move to the next kind of slides or topic, and that's probably the best. I don't mind to be interrupted. I just want to tell you, I can't see the chat. So interrupt me if you have to.
All right. So that's an open invitation by Lucy then. So anybody who will have a question during her presentation that is urgent, then please just take the mic, unmute yourself and ask. Otherwise, you're welcome to ask your questions in the chat and we will collect them in the end. A final word before you delve into it is thank you for all of you who have answered to our housekeeping survey. I'm going to paste the link to the chat as well. Again, we're still looking for your feedback on how to manage the calls and the transcription, and more importantly, what topics you would like to discuss in the coming months. So please share your thoughts with us. Sorry to do so already. Did fill in the survey. If you want to revisit, now the topic question is multiple choice, so you can add some more topics. And we have an agenda point for announcements and reminders. If there are any events or news that you would like to share with the community, we can probably have a few minutes for that before Lucy starts. Once again, you are welcome to just leave information and URLs in the comment or the chat, so people can copy that from there. Anybody has some announcements? Three, two, one. And if not, then Lucy, the floor is yours. We see your slides. Thank you very much. And let's do this.
Okay, great. So yes, I want to start like with really kind of what do I mean by trust registry? And particularly highlighting what I mentioned earlier, when I talk about trust registry today, I don't particularly mean one that has to be issuing or verifying credentials. And I started to work in this space, but then, you know, as you know, my project and also my understanding of like trust registry or trustless and kind of improve or like in, like advance over time, I realized, you know, what I've been working on actually has a lot, you know, more implications beyond credentials. And that's also not something I learned from many others that who are working on trust registry. So yeah, when I'm talking about trust registry, and the example I'm going to give is still a lot of them are still in the credentialing space, which I know is very relevant to this group of people. But just in general, like, you know, the work, you know, a registry of authorized parties that can participate in, you know, it transactions, but more kind of more so electronic transactions within an ecosystem based on the governance of the ecosystem. This is like kind of like my own kind of like definition, like based on some of the other definitions I saw. But I definitely want to highlight, you know, you don't have to be, you know, issuing credentials to need a trust registry or to need interoperability among different trust registries across different ecosystems. Okay, so in my kind of topic today, I have a word before trust registry, like what, you know, standardized trust registries. So why standardize? Why we need some kind of sort of standardization? So that's so I'm using a graphic from the Good House Path Interoperability Blueprint. That's something that was developed while I was working on COVID credentials. This graphic is really kind of inspired. It inspired me and Kalia, like our work at the COVID credentials initiative, to really think about, oh, trust registry interoperability. And so that's why, if you're looking at the kind of, this is really kind of abstraction of what is going on in the world. There's so many different kind of trust registry out there, and trusted registries, each trust registry has probably have their own kind of specific, you know, technical kind of specifications they're following and different policies that they're following. So if there's not some kind of like standardization in place for these trust registries, how can we engage, you know, as human, whereas, you know, how, if we, you know, if you have your own ecosystem, how you're able to engage the growing number of trust registries that are out there, each of them have their own kind of way of working. And a more specific example I can give, you know, I'm sorry, you know, why we're talking about COVID again, but I just, you know, this is something I have a lot of experience. Also, this is something that's still inspiring a lot of my work today, just really thinking about how chaotic that world was. So this is a kind of like, example I can give, like, you know, with our experience, like in 2021, right before we started the trust registry work, it's really like you're looking at how many kind of like the different ecosystem, like, so if you're looking at the list I have here, the one I have like a white, like it means like yes, means yes, that they have their own kind of trust registry. They have own way of doing trust list. If I have an N, like no behind like it, it means like it's just a technical standard that anyone can implement with their own ways of doing trust registry. So this is like, I'm only giving you some kind of major, you know, kind of major ecosystem or major kind of like, technical standards that were being implemented in, you know, in 2021 for COVID credentials. And that world is really messy. And there's so many others, like smaller ones that I haven't even got to list there. And the challenge is really, if you're looking at like this simple picture we have there, we hope that, you know, no matter where you're coming from, like which ecosystem your credential is part of, it could be verified. Whether it's a yes or no, it could be verified, like when you're going to somewhere else. So it's the same idea if we're talking about educational credentials. For example, like I live in Canada now, but I got a lot of my educational, you know, credentials when I was back in China, right? I have to, you know, a lot of like, I remember before when I was applying for grad school in Canada, I literally have to go to like my, you know, my university and also my first grad school to really kind of get all these kind of educational credentials kind of, it was certified by, you know, I mean, it's really have a stamp from the school and there I have to, I'm still carrying a lot of like these, the envelopes like that I couldn't even open. Like, if I'm going to do another degree, you know, down the road, I probably have to kind of use one of those envelopes and go to, you know, and submit it to the school I'm applying for, right? This is pretty much, I went, you know, in educational space, it's pretty much the same. How I can someone from China, when I immigrate to another country, like my credentials can be easily verified, like my educational credentials can be easily verified. So it's the same, it's kind of the same problem you can see across different domains. So that was the challenge we're having. And then we ask ourselves the questions of like, you know, what are some of the, you know, potential ways, but also what are some of the, you know, what is some of the approaches people were already taking at the point of time. So one thing like we saw a lot is really countries are doing bilateral exchanges. It really, pretty much each country have to work with a, you know, with existing ecosystem, or we have to kind of like really doing, you know, country by country. We didn't see a large kind of like ecosystem like in for COVID credentials in Asia Pacific. So I know a lot of Asian, you know, Pacific countries, they literally have to gather keys from like, you know, so many different parties. So that is a lot of work. That is really, really, I mean, it's not only just like technical, just understanding technical standard, but also kind of at the diplomatic level, a lot of, you know, policy agreement, also really that kind of like discussions are happening, needed to happen, or were happening at the point in time. It's really time consuming. And also it's, you know, especially when you're actually just really getting information, manually downloading what happens once, you know, someone updated their information, you know, updated their keys and stuff. That was not a sustainable way of of doing things. And then like another kind of model was like, okay, is it possible that, you know, we can have kind of a giant centralization of things, like, and everyone kind of is in one kind of giant databases where like the keys are there, you know, the metadata are there, like all the revocation and business rules, all the kind of relevant data is in that one place. And then it's a matter of like whoever is accessing using that services, they have to do what? They have to kind of pretty much like download everything to their own thing. But if you're thinking about like COVID, you know, COVID, where even like you're thinking about like in education spaces, right? It's not just like we don't have a limited or a defined number of parties we're actually issuing. So there's actually a growing number of entities who are actually issuing credentials. Like even like in educational space, you have universities, right? And you also probably have those online platforms. So like if you have a growing kind of list of like issuing ecosystem or a growing list of ecosystem, how you're able to have a centralized services like, and especially for someone who is verifying and actually downloading everything into their, when they don't, into their own like backend server without knowing who, you know, they want to deal with, who they don't want to deal with. That's actually a lot. And also even, if you think about like the different kind of natures of ecosystem, whether it's COVID, you know, where it's educational ecosystem, it's like how having one centralized federation service, what rules are you going to put in place that everyone can follow the same rules? It is really hard. So these kind of like are some of the models like we already did, like before we think about, well, what could be, you know, what could be a better solution. So one of the takeaways like we had while we're really kind of navigating the space of different COVID ecosystems, there's that kind of two kind of like problem space that we're like, oh, this is something that is not being properly addressed. We're like very, very lack of efforts. So that first one is discoverability, and second one we call trust interoperability. What do I mean by trust discoverability? It's really who is out there, right? So one of the work, I remember Clea and I were doing at CCI is just really helping, you know, helping governments and industry understand who is actually issuing, right? Who is actually, you know, where does, you know, and where the credentials are all coming from, because they're, you know, keep new entities keep showing up and issuing, right? How can we discover something? So that's one challenge. Another thing is like trust, right? With all these kind of ecosystem emerging, big and small, like, you know, government run or private sector run, how we're able to kind of build trust, because, you know, at COVID time, because it's kind of emergency situation. So there's there's a protocol that everyone, it's even lack of time to figure out what would be the protocol. And a lot of times it's just, we're like, okay, let's get the keys and let's get the, you know, credential verified, you know, as long as we can access public keys. But this is something, because we are dealing with this emergency situation, and it's not that there's no policies. Like if you're looking at the government, you know, run ecosystem, there are definitely policies that, you know, they have to have in place, and the, you know, government evaluate, but it got quite chaotic, right? How someone can learn, how one ecosystem can learn enough about another ecosystem, kind of like policies and governance, to be able to comfortably say, okay, we are okay accepting that credential, and even also keeping up to date of who is out there and also how the policies have changed over time, is really, really difficult. And not that, you know, the other two, like technical interoperability and semantic interoperability are not important. And like semantic interoperability pretty much is the end goal. It's like, you know, one ecosystem will be able to meaningfully kind of like verify a credential from another ecosystem, right? But there are, we've seen a lot of like work being done in the semantic and the technical kind of area, but not necessarily so in the really kind of helping people discover and really build trust. So that's, and also to make it simpler, and because our team has been thinking about how we can actually make it simpler, it's like a trusted, secure yellow page. Right? If you think about how yellow page were like an online, like kind of like directory works these days, that you have like a list of things, and you know, you click into, you know, for example, like I remember, like in Canada, we have like a government website, there's a directory of hospitals or clinics I can go, and I pretty much just click into a link, and I'm directing me to a clinic. But actually, how, I have no idea how these kind of things are being, you know, vetted, or how the clinics are being vetted, right? And also if one clinic has actually updated information and stuff, how these things are they updated in a timely manner? And also when I'm clicking a link, right, I don't know whether there's kind of like, you know, security, you know, in place where I'm sure that I'll be directed to a new, you know, to a page that I think is the clinics. There's a lot of information, you know, a lot of kind of challenges with like the way we're presenting information these days. But I mean, you know, some of the stuff probably is fine, but some of the use cases where higher level assurance are needed, you know, we want like kind of a better model, like to build more trusted and secure yellow pages. So that's kind of like how it was trying to simplify, you know, what we're hoping to find, like what kind of solution we're trying to find. So then when we realized that, you know, kind of the problem space, like what we want to get into, our tech person or tech team, like John, he actually went out there and really doing research regarding what are already like existing technology out there. That's when he found Train. For those of you who Train is developed as part of the EU SF Lab project by a German research institute called Fraunhofer. Sorry, I missed a space here, but anyways, so it initially came actually the prior work to Train is there's a project called Light Test Project, you know, as its name suggests. I mean, I'm gonna read it out loud. It's lightweight infrastructure for global heterogeneous trust management in support of an open ecosystem stakeholders and trust schemes. It's a long name, but you know, it's pretty kind of self-explanatory, like what problem they're trying to solve. And Train is kind of like evolvement, also continuation of that project. And the goal, like Train, is really enable secure and trustable digital interactions, and it's intentionally avoided our hierarchical, like more conventional XCA, you know, type of structure. So also like they try by leveraging like existing internet infrastructure or DNSSEC, they're also trying kind of to prevent fraud and in, you know, to the best extent possible. So what we call like the Train approach is decentralized federation, which I'll explain it later what we mean like by decentralized federation for the publication, discovery, and querying of trust information. So these are some of the, so like I listed some of the very, very core kind of functionalities that you know, because of these functionalities we chose to use Train for at least for solving our COVID problem at the point of time. And also the same, we're still building Train for the WHO project, you know, the health certificate project we're working on today. So first, it provides agnostic support for all types of root of trust architecture, whether you're using, you know, X509 or, you know, DIT, you know, it doesn't really matter to us. We can support all of that. And it can support self-defined trust schemes and trust policies. That's what I talked about earlier. So if you're ecosystem, you can have your own policies, right? We don't want to be like, oh, you know, everyone has to follow the same, because that's also not realistic. And third is really design, you know, support. And it's kind of like the relevant, the same, kind of similar to the second point. We're naming a few established or emerging trust schemes like AIDAS, like Pine Canadian Trust Framework, you know, TEFCA. And for Train itself, it adopts, so we're talking about like Train is used for federating trust registries. But actually, you know, if you can also use it if someone comes like, okay, we want a trust registry ourselves, and also we have a need for a federating trust registries within our ecosystem, or like across from with other ecosystem, that you know, you can also like use Train to build your trust list. But Train particularly, you know, adopts a pattern from Etsy. That's Etsy trusted list. Actually, today when I just spoke with the Train team prior to this call, they've come up with new kind of patterns for their own kind of trust list. But anyway, so that's, you know, but if you're using Train, definitely, you know, also Etsy standards align with you, that will be very easy for you to implement an Etsy trust list as part of the Train framework. And as mentioned, they're using like DNSSEC to secure the chain of authenticity. And lastly, and they also have like, at least they have like started kind of an API for kind of a verifier app, just really for discovery and verification of trusted endpoints. The point for the verifier is just really how can it verifier can integrate with different kind of trust registries to be able to kind of help with, you know, integrated with different kind of trust registry out there. So when you're using Train for federations, like the, you know, the infrastructure can speak with different kind of trust registries for interoperability, and also for some automating some of the tasks rather than just, you know, doing kind of manual investigation. So this is kind of like the core things like we look at and then Train provided. That's the reason why like we chose Train for, and also, to be honest, like we still today, I still haven't find anything else that actually do that, you know, that federation at that level and also in a decentralized way. A few things I want to highlight, especially as a business person, why, and I'm not only just a business person, also our tech team is really kind of like, you know, pointing out the fact that Train is like Fraunhofer is a highly reputable, like research and engineering organization. Like we really like that. And also we can see how the team has really kind of really driven to solve real world problems, but also like doing really rigorous research and development to be able to make sure they're actually developing technologies that can solve problems and also based on sound kind of work, right? It's not like, you know, you just come up with something and then you just develop. It's really, they've done the research and also like when we're working with them, it's really, they can see how thoughtful they are in terms of like thinking through some of the real world scenarios. And second, like, we really like that they leverage the well-established and well-adopted internet infrastructure. And also with, the thing with a DNS and DNSSEC is not, we're not the only person who are building on it, right? It's really, there are a huge community of stakeholders and implementers working diligently to improve it. Cause some, you know, we keep seeing that there are some security challenges with DNS, DNSSEC, and we know that there's a community, it's not only us, there's actually a lot of people are working on some of the commonly recognized challenges with these in existing infrastructure. And thirdly, so it is an open source project and building on existing open standards. If I'm not wrong, probably 80% of like Train is like based on open standards. And also wherever there's need, that the team at Fraunhofer also keep identifying where like are the things that, and you know, cause are necessarily being further standard. Cause like, it's not like you have to do everything standard. Cause some of the stuff probably doesn't make sense, really, really standardized. But like that team is really, really dedicated to really identifying pieces. One of the things there, I think like they're leading is a W3C, like verifier ensure. It's one of like the, how you can actually give a verifier issuer on the trust registry credential so they can prove that they are on a trust registry. That's something that they are working to standardize at W3C. So this is a kind of an additional piece they've identified from their work to know that actually that kind of standardization makes sense. We like that approach. And also like a lot of like the partners we work with, especially someone at WHO, they really, really want open standards and also they want established standards. So these kind of factors like we like about, working on Train. Then I'm going to dive a little bit more into like what decentralized federation means. So if you're looking at the chart, and also if you're thinking about like the earlier kind of like two kind of approaches we thought about, one is like the bilateral exchanges, another one is like the fully kind of centralized service, centralized federation service. What happened that like, you know, when we're using Train is, so all these ecosystems, they, you know, they exist. But we don't kind of trying to move everything they have like into a giant platform. What we're trying to do is we're actually giving them a tool to create a profile. So to create a profile, and I'll show that what that profile means. So what actually, if you're using like Train, is like what is, when you're looking at a yellow page, we have different profiles from different ecosystems. And that profile includes information that, you know, we believe where we work with stakeholders to kind of define a list of information that we need to see from ecosystem for them to be able to evaluate by verifiers or by other ecosystem whether this ecosystem is trusted. And then if, for example, if a verifier, like say in the COVID example, a country verifier, right, they can decide, okay, among all the, you know, based on the profiles and also the informations, like, you know, because and the information is provided through the profiles, who are like the parties we want to trust. And they end up only having to getting information, we're downloading the keys and into their back server, the parties they can trust. And also like the kind of the downloading the data part also facilitated through like the platform. But at the end of the day, the platform itself, like enabled by Train, doesn't hold, you know, we don't have public, you know, we don't need, you know, to have public key data where we don't have to have like all where, you know, all the governance data, all the metadata stuff. You know, we are hosting metadata, but we're not actually hosting the actual data from the ecosystem. So give you an example. So on the left, like, those are kind of fake information. Like, we're just like created as like, just like straw, for you to kind of for demonstration purposes. But if you're looking at the left and the network entry, so like, that's kind of the yellow page we're talking about. You're going to have like, in the profiles, like, you look at whose profile are actually on a Twin enabled platform. And then when you click into it, so that's on the right, like, the picture pretty much shows like these, you know, who is it, like, Ministry of Health and Welfare Sport. So this is with the Dutch ministry. We worked out an example. Actually, the link we had there is actually a real link. Anyways, like, we defined a list of information we would need from an ecosystem. So, like, the Dutch ministry provided, like, you know, their name, and also all these like links are actually pointing to the information provided by them. And the idea is, like, we're only having the metadata on the platform, and then, like, you know, whether, like, some of the links are actually pointing to your probably a static information page, some of the information pointing to a key directly. So what, you know, we are doing is really, if there's a key, it's pointing to a key, will enable, like, our system will enable, like, the verifiers to actually get the key from the Ministry of Health, Welfare and Sport. So they're able to kind of verify, a certificate from this ministry. So this is kind of just give you an idea that, like, we're not actually hosting those data, but we're actually having, like, the metadata, like the profile of this particular ecosystem, and also facilitate kind of the data exchanges through the platform without having to host everything. And the idea of using like DNS and DNSSEC, this is a very kind of high level. So each one of the participants, actually, they're not, so they have their own, so they have, we assume that, you know, everyone already have their, like, you know, a domain. Right now, it's pretty much they have a zone that they created. I'm not technical. I'm trying to use the right language here, but they actually, each one of them, they have a zone that actually they host all the data. And then they create a profile on the Twin enabled platform. And then that's how, like, so each time, like, we're dealing, like, the decentralized, decentrally federated platform is just really kind of presenting that metadata, and also directing, you know, people through the link and the URIs to the right information they would need to investigate further. Some of that still has to be done kind of more like manually, just looking through things, for example, like the governance policies, but some of the technical stuff, we can definitely actually build integrations already. So what we also guarantee is when someone is publishing on a Twin-enabled platform, their information signed. So pretty much like through like DNSSEC, they can actually sign that information. So we're making sure when we're directing someone to a URL, it's actually like coming from, it's actually going to that URL. Like, we're not, you know, like, pretty much like anti-spoofing. Like, that's one of the things like DNS and DNSSEC provides. And another thing I want to kind of highlight, because we're technology providers, we don't do the governance part of it. But the idea of using, like, when we are actually working on a governance kind of guidance for whoever implementing it, it's really at the end of the day, how the vetting is done for someone to be able to be part of a yellow page or to be part of a higher level directory. This is something defined by governance. And also another thing that I mentioned earlier is what information, like, whoever is running kind of like the decentrally federated platform, their job is not to tell people like, oh, you have to follow this particular policy of issuing education credentials or COVID credentials. But what they have to define is what set of metadata, like information, a listed party needs to provide in order for them to be able to participate in the platform. So pretty much it's like this, once like the party provides that information or ecosystem provides that set of information, then the other ecosystem can really see, okay, have enough information to evaluate whether that, you know, ecosystem is trusted, can be trusted or not. So this is like a little bit more technical, how like the DNS, kind of like how we're using DNS and, you know, how like the publishing ecosystem leverage, you know, have their own DNS zone and how they're used, you know, this is a little bit more technical, but if anyone want to dig into it, I'm happy to try my best to explain. But the idea just really is if you're looking at the gray box, it's really, this is like the the kind of like example of a federated directory of all like the listing ecosystems, and each when you're clicking into like each ecosystem behind, there's actually a, you know, there's something they're doing on their DNS zone. And also some of the ecosystem we're hosting, they have their own trust list, right? So for example, if you think about, the EU COVID certificates is a part of like a listed ecosystem, then they have a trust list themselves that we, you know, that they are managing, and really depends on whether someone want to use Untrain as to further trust registry. They don't have to, like I said, they can use whatever trust registry we have, but then it's a matter of whether like Train can further investigate into a secondary or like second layer trust registry. So we're working on really kind of looking at what are the major trust registry protocols or standards out there, so we can integrate further with that. But this is still work in progress. So lastly, I mean, I already, you know, I hope that I have like provide enough clarity for you to ask more questions. Just want to give you an idea when we say like there's so many things like to kind of wrap my head around is, so Train is really a standard based open source framework to build. You can build trust registry and, you know, using like that follows like the ASCII standards. And also the most important functionality for Train just really decentrally federate any type of trust registries. But what kind of like trust registry we're looking at out there. So like we have like the conventional CA that's, you know, trustless. That's just in, like standard based. And then we have like the trusted list. That's also standards. It's open standard. And one of the, you know, kind of recent one kind of emerging, the Open ID Federation. This is something I'm planning to kind of dig into a little bit more. So this is also standardized, and kind of quite a new thing that came out of DIF is called Credential Trust Establishment. I don't understand enough, but I feel like this is more kind of a DIF based. So these are kind of like the standards. I mean, I would love to kind of look, like understand a little bit more, particularly like the Open ID Federation and DIF. The one came out of DIF. There are also some kind of open source or partially open source project that are, you know, they're not necessarily kind of standard based, but they're at least, you know, they're major ones like that, you know, EPSI trust chains, the blockchain one, because that's widely used in Latin America, and some bird registries came out of India. I believe they're also like more widely adopted beyond India. And another one I just, like our Fraunhofer partner just told me that the guy acts trust registry. I mean, they are working with, like Fraunhofer, like in this, you know, implementing Train within GAIA-X, but also the GAIA-X itself has their own kind of way of doing trust registry. So that's a new thing I have to dig into. And then another, some related stuff, not necessarily you can use to build trust registry, but actually very, very related. Oh, one is this, W3C verifiable issuer and verifiers. This is the one I mentioned earlier, like, you know, Fraunhofer and a bunch of others trying to define at W3C. And then there's a trust OIP, trust registry, like version 2. So the trust registry, and this one, if I understand correctly, so they're trying to define, the way a bridge between trust registries and verifiers, because, you know, because there are so many different trust registries out there. So how can you, you know, trying to standardize how a verifier will, you know, like interact and kind of have a standardized way for verifiers to engage with different trust registries is what they're trying to do for the version 2, which I think makes sense. And another one I worked on like early on when and during COVID with WHO is like a trustless specification where it really, you know, how to get, you know, convert, or, you know, use the word convert X509 into kind of a DIT based document. So that's all these are kind of things I want, you know, I've tried to follow and also try to understand more. And there's actually a lot more I haven't listed here. That's the reason why I'm like, you know, this is only a starter of a conversation, hopefully. And what is my last slide? Yes. So, I mean, this is like, I have some call to action. So if anyone in my company, like that's my a consulting company, we are looking for sponsorship to support our research in this area. So if you're interested in see what kind of like sponsorship project we did, like I have a link to the website there. And also whoever has actually a business, when I say business case, I don't mean like, you know, like really profit making case. It's really business means like case that actually can create value, right? Because if you ask me like what are use cases, I can really sit here and talk about use cases for the rest of the day, but I want to identify, you know, like the cases where actually we can start creating value today. There's actually a real need out there. So that's kind of like what I mean by business cases. So like we're looking for partners. Like when I say we, I mean like, it could be our consulting firm. It also could be like part of my work at the UN. I don't know. It really depending on where things align. A lot of work I'm doing at the UN are more kind of government related. But you know, me as a person trying to solve real world problems, I'm a use case where I'm business case agnostic. So if you have, you know, interest in any of those things, I have my email here. I think that's the end of my presentation. I'll share the link in the email, the link to the slide. So if, you know, so you can have access to that. How can I stop sharing? I'm sorry. I'm trying to find it. Okay. Cool.
Thank you very much. And special thanks for sharing the link to the slides, because they were very dense and I'm sure that some of us would like to take a closer look at some of the details.
Yay. Yeah, I shared it in the slides.
Thank you.
In the chat.
And now the floor is open for questions. I didn't see anybody joining the queue in the chat itself, but the floor is now open to any questions you might have.
No question.
Simona, yeah, take it away.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much, Lucy, for that run through of so much. I wonder if you've observed specific movements around registries in the education specific domain, and if you find there are specific requirements or challenges for those.
I feel like education space is actually one of the most active. I mean, probably I'm engaged with education space quite a lot, but I feel it's one of the most active space, but not necessarily big initiatives. The reason why I'm saying this is when it comes down to really kind of business cases, really what are going to bring immediate, like a work short-term, mid-term value to someone who is going to take the lead on it. Right? So what I see happening is really a particular country looking at where their people are going, you know, where their people are emigrating to, right? And also where they have kind of incoming kind of students from, you know, which countries are having incoming students. It's really identifying those countries that, you know, have a strategic value. have a strategic value for them. So I do see a lot of conversation happening kind of among a few countries where they're trying to kind of figure out how. I know there have been quite some initiative in Canada, or at least conversations. I don't know actually if there's actually, you know, tangible initiative, but at least action, you know, conversations like with other countries to really see how, you know, getting faster kind of verification of educational credentials to bring like immigrants in. And also like international students, like, you know, for international student programs, right? That kind of thing. I'm trying to just, yeah. My understanding is there's also some existing kind of infrastructures, like, you know, trust registries. I wouldn't call it trust registry. I don't understand enough of how some of the existing registries are being done in education space. And that's the reason why I would love to kind of actually work on a particular case. So I understand that existing infrastructure, because at least the work I do, I hope that we're not trying to kind of like create a completely new thing. And for the education space, it's really what already can be leveraged, and how can we, you know, use like new tooling to enable kind of like or generate value, right? That's, and you know, quite, you know, in a relatively, you know, short term, and but also with a kind of long term view in place. I hope I answer your question. I don't think there are any particular kind of standard or kind of stuff, at least I'm not aware of, which is probably a good thing. I think I really like how like you guys have actually a task force, particularly on focusing on credentials, because the challenge I have is really there's so many new things that come up, right? Whether like a new initiative have evaluated the other existing options out there, that's a question mark for me. And also that's part reason why we, you know, we as company want to do more research and communicate better about what are already there, what problems they're solving. So when it comes to actually a particular use case, whether it is like, you know, education or healthcare, people at least have a better starting point for them to evaluate what they can use. Did I answer your question?
And more. Thank you very much, Lucy.
Dimitri, your turn. Dimitri, you can take the floor. I don't know if you can make your microphone work. Ah. You can see the chat now, Lucy?
I can see the chat. Oh, okay. Thanks, Carrie. I would love to follow that work. But is that particularly about registry in the education space? I mean, we're, you know, when I say registry, it means there are already registries that exist in the education space, as opposed to kind of like what we mean by trust registry. So if you can clarify a little bit, that would be great.
Sure. So there aren't that many registries in education yet. I mean, there are some, but they're not necessarily set up to work with verifiable credentials. And there's a lot of governance that happens in education. Right. But all of this hasn't really come together yet. So this research project is about exploring this topic, in the context of learning and employment records. And, a lot of that is governance, right? And a lot of that is what are the needs of verifiers for specifically learning and employment records? And then some of that, of course, is the technology and how all of this be hosted. So there's a lot of intersection with the work you've been doing with this. So we'll definitely be in touch. And this research project is going to be 1 year. Digital Credential Consortium is doing it with Credential Engine, but it's going to be an open public project because there's a lot of people who are interested in trust registries in our space right now. So we're going to work on it together. And ideally, we'll do a lot what you've been doing in a similar method, where we'll produce something, a pilot registry for folks to try and write up all of our understandings of the registries that are in place now in the world and what is needed in this space. So does that help?
Yes, that's super helpful, because I think what one thing you mentioned about governance, so when I'm a business person looking at what are the kind of like promising use cases, I would love to work with those who already have existing governance, because building governance from scratch is like, it's difficult, right? And also, I think that the fact that you are looking into like the kind of, like you said, like probably the technology are not for verifiable credentials yet, but actually looking into those, you know, existing kind of technology or system is important. That's something I can't do. Where at least we're not prioritizing. Like if you ask me, my time is mostly spent on really looking at like the credential related work, you know, like the kind of registry, I trust registry I presented, right? But not necessarily so in a particular space. But where I think things come together is like you have a much better understanding of like the education space, where we can actually help really how we can bring those existing system technologies, you know, kind of, you know, to like things that can work with verifiable credentials, all these emerging technologies, right? So I think that's where, and also you understand governance better, right? When we work with partners, it's really the partner actually understand the governance. So we're making sure we're building technology, kind of like leveraging the existing governance to the best extent possible. So that's great. Great to learn. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, we have a lot to learn in terms of what verifiers are really looking for. And we have some issuing happening in education and in workforce with credentials, but not a lot of verifying yet. And we'd like to know and learn more about, like, that's a big question. What do verifiers need? When do they need it? And we suspect there's probably going to be hundreds of registries in education and workforce, because private, government, all sorts of people are interested in that space. So it's a fascinating project, actually. So I'm excited to, I'll connect with you. I'll drop you an email. We can talk some more.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think like another very, very good point you brought up on the verifier side, because what I'm nervous about these days is is also the verifier side. I feel fairly confident about the kind of decentralized federation approach, but not necessarily so in terms of at the user experience level. We've done some POC and pilot project where we can, you know, demonstrate like the verifier app can, you know, have the entire end to end. But still, there are a lot, you know, for verifier to digest, to be able to, because we work with someone who's fairly familiar with our approach. But really kind of how to, you know, give the verifier who has nothing, you know nothing about, you know, our space, and really that kind of experience that they don't even have to know, like, what is, you know, whether it's central or decentralized, you know, federation. That's something I'm nervous about. but that's a very good point. Thank you very much. Well, I hope that, you know, as we, you know, work further on this, we can also share a bit more on like what on the expectations from verifiers.
Yeah, exactly, Lucy. Thank you so much. This has been a great presentation. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I just wanted to say, Lucy, thank you so much for this presentation. This is really helpful. I totally agree with you that really the notion of trust registries is like, one, it's like an iceberg, right? I think we're, a lot of people who encounter it don't realize just how much is under the surface of it, just how much work we all have to do organizationally, technologically, governance-wise, and all that stuff. And absolutely agree with you that it's critical for issuers. It is also critical for verifiers. And in addition, the other sort of angle that I think our community is just starting to really wrestle with is, hey, what about self-issued credentials, right? How do we tie it into any of this kind of infrastructure for self-issued and endorsements and all that stuff? So really great topic. Thank you so much for speaking on it. That's it.
Thank you, Dimitri.
Laura?
Go ahead, Laura. If you're speaking, you're muted.
Sorry, it's I haven't allowed my browser to do this in a while. Sorry about that. I do a lot of work with the research and education identity registries, like In Common, actually the global network of those. So they have been starting the process of talking a lot about decentralized identity and how the trust registries that they've built specifically in research and education are going to match with the decentralized world. So I think that that community is ripe for conversation right now. And I'm happy to make introductions if that's helpful.
Yes, thank you very much, Laura. Yeah, I would love to learn more about the work they've been doing.
Quick to follow-on question to Laura. So do you have any insight into the sort of where the state of things are in the In Common Educane sort of area? So we've had the initial conversations with In Common through Nicole Roy who gave a presentation at the Chicago conference earlier this year, the Internet 2 conference. And so In Common mentioned that they might be interested in serving as a sort of pilot trust registry, but do you have any more insight into where those conversations are at now?
Sorry, is that a question for me, for Laura?
Yes. Yes, question for Laura.
So I know that In Common has just done a new strategic plan, and they're in the process of planning how they're going to execute it, and this is one of the topics that are there. And So I imagine that the conversations that they'll be seeking are going to increase over the next several months. And actually, Lucy, just a heads up, I just sent your name over to the program committee for a conference that's coming up in December as a potential keynote speaker. So if you hear from them, that's my fault.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Oh, I have a note. So I will be at DC in DC next week for the DHS Silicon Valley demo week event. If anyone is in DC, I'm happy to, we're at the event, I'm happy to meet up.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Hopefully we can get somebody from the cohort to come and present on what they've learned in DC.
Sheila, I think you're the last one in the queue.
Okay. With the note that I might like sound stupid, but I'll bring it out anyway. So you're talking about trust registries. There are different types and levels of trust registries that can happen. I'm more working on verifiable credentials in the education field. So actually, I'm working in Europe. So I'm in Finland. I'm working with the European alliances. And so what I noticed is when we want to issue digital credentials or verifiable credentials, there are certain trust registries we can already use today. Like there's a database of Descartes, database of European Quality Assurance Registry. So every university within Europe, every 2 years or so, they do internal assessment and, give the assessment to the European wide. And if it gets accepted, it means that they are at the European level of quality assurance. And all the, as far as I know, all the higher education institutions do this. So that's a trust registry for us. If we are working with a university, or if any student brings in a credential from any university that already is in the Descartes, which means that we know that, okay, their quality is at the European level for sure. And similarly, any credential that we issue, we try to put a EQF level, European Qualification Framework. So when a credential comes and it says EQF level 7, which means we know that the credential or the course they took is at a master's level. So we already have certain registries that can be used in education, at least within Europe context. And I know when we expand it to the world and we want the credentials from Europe to be accepted in US, then we need trusted registries where this is trusted over there and all that. But I was wondering if that's the type of trust registries you're talking about, or did I completely miss that?
I'll just quickly respond. I mean, I think, Sheila, you brought up a very, very good example, because, like, when I was responding to Carrie's comment, is really I don't understand enough what are the existing registries that are in place. But the registry you talked about, I believe, when they initially built it, they didn't think about the world can come to the point where today, right? They were not built for kind of technically interop and also governance-wise interop across the world. I think it's perfectly great, perfectly fine. You're using within Europe, but like you said, when actually they're, electronically need to be verified across like Atlantic or across borders, that's when, the challenge arises. Right, that's the problem we're trying to solve. We're trying how we can bring these registries in kind of at the level that they can actually understand and interop with each other in a meaningful way. But yes, you give a very good example. Thank you.
So it's mostly, there needs to be more work on interoperability, because there might be registries already existing in different parts of the world. Interoperability is what is needed more than building the registries, or?
Yes, exactly. That's what
building all new registries.
Yes, my work is less so about building trust registries. It's really understanding what is out there and really, do the interop part. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you as well for speaking up, Sheila, because that makes me a little braver as well. It's the presentation was we moved from my area of work, I thought I might also ask a stupid question, but I think, yeah, this is so important. That card database Sheila mentioned, that we use already in Europe to check an organization's accreditation status if they're issuing special qualification awards that need to be issued by an accredited organization. But I guess when it comes to this trusted list, what are you verifying against? Is it just that the issuer has been legally registered, or that they are authorized to issue certain types of certificates? I guess this is something that is more about what the data contains, how structured it is, so you can learn as much about the organization as possible. But yeah, I will definitely take a closer look at your slides to understand more. Do we have any further comments or questions? We have reached the end of our allocated time. So it's final words, anybody? The queue is empty. So if nobody else wants to speak, then I think we should all give a round of applause to Lucy for the presentation. Thank you very much. And thank you all for your attention. And see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.